Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Gospel Church. Welcome back to my home for our Sunday gathering. We decided to move our service back to our homes this week because of a rise of coronavirus infections. And we feel really good about the decision, although we really miss being with everybody in person. We were really enjoying having everybody back in the building. And I think we're going to continue moving back towards gathering together at some point in the near future. But right now, we feel this is the best place for us to be back in my living room for this sermon. So I just want to welcome you. If you're watching this at your home or on your phone, thank you so much for being a part of the Gospel Church. It really makes a big difference that you're with us and that you're a part of this church. And so today, our message is going to be continuing our study on what it means to have courage in crisis. We're walking through the lives of Elijah and Elisha as they are on mission with Jesus, as they are a representative of the gospel in their community. And today's story is one of my favorite ones in the Bible. It's a story of a man named Naaman who encounters the living God through the intervention of Elisha and a servant girl. And so we're going to be looking at this story, and we're going to be looking at it specifically through this lens of what it looks like to be somebody who has an encounter with God. And we're going to read the story, and then I'm going to take you through four key points that I want you to see from it. So let's go to the scripture together right now. It says this. We're in 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says this: Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, was a man important to his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a valiant warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore, the king of Aram said, "Go, and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel." So he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, "When this letter comes to you, note that I've sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, "Am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Recognize that he's only picking a fight with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your skin will be restored, and you will be clean." But Naaman got angry and left, saying, "I was telling myself, he will surely come out, stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he left in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you, wash and be clean?" So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. Then Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him, and declared, "I know there is no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, in whose presence I stand, I will not accept it." Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Naaman responded, "If not, please let your servant be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to any other god but the Lord." Today's story is a story about a man who's got everything. Naaman is successful. He's been victorious in battle. He's really good at his job. He's a really great soldier. But there's something that he can't overcome, which is the fact that he has a skin disease. And this skin disease, leprosy, was the most feared disease of the ancient world. It was a disease that if you got it, you received a death sentence. It eventually would claim your life. And it would claim your life not only because your body would begin to decay while you were still living. It also would claim your life because you would be put outside of community. People wouldn't want to touch you. They wouldn't want to spend time with you. They wouldn't want to be near you. In fact, if you're in Israel and you were a leper, you had to actually stay outside all the city gates. And anytime somebody came near you, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean. So there's this huge social stigma and social isolation that anybody who's a leper experienced. And so you find this man, Naaman, going through a time where nothing that he has can save him. And he is completely outside of his community because of his leprosy. And he is fearing death. And so in the middle of all this, God provides something for him. There's a girl that is a servant in his house that he's captured in battle who's an Israeli. She's from the people of Israel. And she tells him that there's a man in Israel who can actually save him. And so he goes to Elisha's house. And as he goes there, he expects that Elisha's going to just wave his hand over him and heal him. But Elisha instead sends him to a river, the River Jordan, to go wash himself in 7 times. And through this, Naaman becomes very upset because he thinks that this is just a small request and he should go wash himself somewhere else. And God's not answering his prayers the way that he is expecting God to do that. But in all of this, eventually somebody like calls him to go repent and just try it. And so he does, and he's miraculously healed. And in this story, we find some very important things for us as a church and as a community, because in many ways, we are all Naaman. In many ways, we are just like him. And the first thing I want you to hear today in this story that's true for every single person, it's true for me, and it's true for you, it's true for all of us, is that every single one of us is unclean. Sin in the Bible is often compared to this this disease of leprosy because it separates us. It makes us unclean. We can't worship God like we normally would. It brings ultimate death. And even though we're still living, there's something within us that's dying and decaying. And so this is a powerful picture of what our condition is like before a holy God. We all have sinned, both our ancestors, starting with our very first ancestor, Adam and Eve, to our own lives. We've all sinned, and that sin separates us from each other, where we can't have the kind of community that God has created us to have. It separates us from God, in that we can't see him, and that we are under his wrath. And ultimately, it'll separate us from this life. We will all die because of this. Death is not natural for human beings. That's what the Bible teaches us, that we're created to be people who would never die. And yet, death entered into the world when sin happened. And so now all of us are faced with the reality that we will die someday. And it's a reality we try to stave off in any way we can. In fact, we think that if we can have enough money, we can have great healthcare, and we can survive longer. We think that if we're really careful, we can not get hurt and then maybe die. Even in this time of the coronavirus, right? We're isolating ourselves because we are afraid of what the virus will do to us. And I know there's many of us are on different levels with the virus. Some of us are like, it's not that big a deal. Others of us know that it's very dangerous for people that we love who have immunocompromised immune systems. And we just know that it's something that could bring death to our doorstep. And so when we look at this story, it's important for us to realize that every single one of us is unclean like this. We have a disease that's actually worse than the coronavirus, and it's worse than leprosy. We have a disease which is sin, and sin is ultimately a rebellion against God. That's what sin really is, saying, God, I just want your stuff. I don't really want you. I want the planet you gave me. I want the body you gave me. I want the life you gave me. And I really like all those things. But it'd be really great if you really had no say in how I lived my life. And that's ultimately what sin is. And every single one of us is unclean before a holy God because of it. And that's important for us as Christians to have that as central in our worldview, that we are people who have sinned and we are underneath God's wrath. He's right to be angry at the way that we've taken what he's given us and how we've destroyed it. And because of that, if God did not intervene, we would be people who would be forever underneath his wrath. But there's good news, is that everybody is welcome for the cure. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to be freed from this leprosy, this sin that we all carry. And Naaman is someone who's welcome to receive healing because everyone is welcome. That's incredible news. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, whether you're rich or you're poor, you are welcome. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you have. All people are equal in God's sight. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're Native American, if you're Asian, every single person is welcome by God. That's the power of the gospel, is that it makes people who are all people who are far from God welcome equally and have equal access to God. And here you find Naaman, someone who's a very scary person. In fact, someone who's so scary that when he comes to the king of Israel and he shows up bearing gifts, he brings 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. That's what it says in verse 5. So he shows up to the king of Israel and he's sent by his boss. And he comes with all this loot and he's basically willing to give it to the king if he can be healed. And the king is so afraid of Naaman that he thinks that it's a trap. Like he goes straight Admiral Akbar on him. He's like, it's a trap. I can't heal this guy. I don't know why the king of Aram thinks that I can, but this is an invitation to war. He sends me his number one general asking to be healed. And this is going to be a huge political incident. This is going to be a provocative thing that I can't do this for him. And they're going to become angry and they're going to come and bring their armies against us. And when you look at this man, Naaman, there's a lot of things that you would think would disqualify him. He fights against the people of God. He's raided their villages. He's enslaved people. He's taken this young girl away from her family. We don't know anything else about her story, but he's brought her away from her family and brought her into his own home to serve his wife. This is not a great guy. In fact, this would be one of those people that you'd be like, this person does not deserve God's mercy at all. He should be cast aside. How dare he now come and ask for healing? But the Bible tells us that everybody is welcome. It doesn't matter what you've done. Everybody is welcome. And God wants to do something powerful in Naaman's life. God wants to clean him. But to get there, to get to the story, is that there must be humility that takes place in Naaman's life. Because the third thing I want you to hear today is not only that everyone is unclean and everyone is welcome, but third, I want you to hear this, is that humility precedes healing. Humility precedes healing. You see this in Naaman's life. God's path for Naaman to enter into healing was a path of humility, and it was hard for Naaman to walk it. Because everything within him says, I'm a big deal, and I can figure this out, and I have enough stuff and resources to be healed. In fact, this is one of the reasons why it's hardest for people in America to really receive Christ, is because we are people who are not very humble. And we think that we have enough strength and money and ability to answer all of our personal needs. In fact, we think the only way to get there is not necessarily be humble before our God, but actually just get more stuff or get more power, or get more money. And then we can fix anything that would make us afraid, that would make us feel lonely, that would make us feel powerless. We think that if we can just get enough money or power or influence, then we can fix all of that. But that's really pride. And Naaman felt that way. He had that pride in spades. But here you find God bringing him to a place of humility. And throughout the entire story, there's a path of humility that God is walking Naaman through. Let me just point out a couple things. First of all, God heals Naaman by bringing him very low. And he does that by the people that he encounters along the way. Throughout the entire text, you find Naaman interacting with people in descending order of importance. So first, he talks to the king of Aram, the most powerful man that he knows. The king of Aram sends him to the king of Israel. So he's a not as powerful king, and he sends him there. The king of Israel sends him to Elisha, and Elisha is a very powerful man, but he's not as highly ranked as the king. Elisha doesn't even see him. Elisha sends his servant Gehazi to talk to Naaman. And Naaman's very upset by this because Elisha's treating him like a leper. His pride is wounded. And then Gehazi doesn't even do anything for him. Gehazi sends him off to a river to go bathe in it. And it's not even a great river. It's a really yucky river. It's muddy. It's not necessarily as beautiful as the rivers from his own town in Damascus. In fact, he says that. He goes, the rivers back home are much better than this one. Why would I think that this dirty river will heal me when the rivers who are back home, the rivers that are by my home in Damascus, are so much nicer? So you find God bringing him to a place of humility by the people that he interacts with. You also see this humility that God's bringing in his life by the people that he draws into his story. So this servant girl is the one who actually points him to a cure. It's not the wise man that lives in the palace. It's not the king of Aram telling him. It's a girl who is a prisoner of war who we don't even know her name. And she's the one who's the hero in the story who tells him, listen, you should go and you should go seek out this man named Elisha who can heal you. See, God uses people who are not necessarily the most obvious choices, because God is no respecter of persons. He sees people equally. And here we find that God can use anybody. And God is using this little girl to bring Naaman to a place where he learns the true value of humility. And the same thing is true for us. God's going to bring us to a place of being humble, because salvation is ultimately found in our humility, not in our strength, not in our power. Salvation comes by humbling ourselves before Almighty God and saying, God, it's not about me. And it's not about my way of doing things. It's not about my strength. It's about me saying, it's about you. And I love what Naaman is told by his servants. He apparently has a very wise servant who knows how to approach him and speak truth to him, because the servant actually comes to him very humbly. He's actually a model of humility. And if you look with me in verse 13, you see the servant coming to him, and he says to Naaman, he says, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you, wash and be clean? The servant comes to him and says, my father, like he comes and says, listen, I see your leadership, Naaman, in my life, and I'm going to approach you, not speaking down to you. I'm going to speak to you very gently and very humbly, but I'm going to ask you to consider one really important thing, Naaman. I'm going to ask you to consider that if the prophet had told you to go on some huge quest or to climb some mountain or to conquer a nation, you would have done it. But all he's asking you to do is go to this river and wash and be clean. And so why not just do it? And this is an important thing for us to consider when it comes to our relationship with God. You see, our relationship to God is a huge gap before Christ. It's massive. And we can't cross it no matter how hard we try. But God's invitation to us is actually a very simple one. It's simply to humble ourselves, repent, and believe. God doesn't tell us to go memorize a ton of scripture to be saved. God doesn't call us to go on a huge quest to be saved. God doesn't tell us to go get an advanced degree to have a relationship with Him. God actually calls us to simply wash and be clean. This phrase that He uses over and over again here, to wash and be clean, is the same thing that God asks of us, to be washed so that we can become clean. This is a picture of what Jesus does for us, in that in Jesus, when He gave Himself for us, Jesus did all the work for our salvation. We did none of it. All we brought was our sin. All we brought was our cosmic leprosy. All we brought was our mess. And we are all welcomed, but Jesus is the one that did the work. And when He went to the cross and gave Himself for us, He shed His blood so that we can be washed in the goodness of God. That the blood of Jesus is what paid the price for us. That there is healing in His wounds, like the scriptures say. That we can be washed by the blood of Jesus. I love the hymn that says, there's a fount that washes our sins away. That there is a beautiful reality that Jesus gives us what we need to be washed from our sins, and it is Himself. It is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross so that we can have life. And the invitation is there for you too. You have sin. You've sinned. We've all sinned. I've sinned. I sin all the time. I still am a sinner, but I am welcome, because anybody is welcome. And that is such good news. I'm still welcome, even when I completely mess up, when I lose my temper with my kids, when I have a lustful thought, when I feel anger and I'm angry because I'm not getting my way and I'm not being seen as a big deal. When I feel those things, just like you may feel those things, I feel unworthy. I feel very broken. When I look at my despair, or I'm frustrated and I start hoping in something other than Jesus, I wonder, is God still there for me? Will He still love me? And the beauty of that is that Jesus is closest to me in those times when I feel the most broken. Because Jesus runs to the brokenhearted and to sinners. My favorite name that Jesus was given, and He was given this name by His enemies, the people that did not like Him, was that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Which is incredibly good news, because He's a friend to people like Naaman, and He's a friend to people like me, and He's a friend to you. That even when we think that we've gone too far, we can never go too far for Jesus. And here, Naaman washes himself in the water, and he is healed, and he comes back to Elisha and he says, wow, I've been washed and I'm clean. My skin's better than it was before. It's like a child's skin. I've been healed. And then he tells Elisha, he says, Elisha, I want to do something nice for you. Can I pay you? Can I give you a gift? I've got all this gold. Can I give it to you? Can I give you these clothes that I've brought, the silver? Can I just bless you? And Elisha refuses. To be honest, I would have been like, that stuff looks pretty great. Like, man, I could do a ton of good things with that. There's a lot of poor people. We'll take the gold and we'll spread it around in the community. But Elisha doesn't do that. And I thought about it a lot. I was like, why does Elisha not do that? Like, why does he say, no, I'm not going to accept your gift? And he says, as the Lord lives, in whose presence I stand, I will not accept that. You see that in verse 16? He says, as God is my witness, I'm not going to do that. And the question I ask is why? Why did Elisha not want this? And I think the reason why is because God is not for sale. God didn't do this for Naaman so that Naaman would then in turn give to God the loot that he possessed. Because God wasn't interested in the money. God's got all the money in the world. God doesn't need anything from us. God did not heal Naaman for Naaman's sake. God did not heal Naaman for Naaman. God healed Naaman for himself. God healed Naaman for God, because God loved Naaman. And you know what God wanted from Naaman? God didn't want any of Naaman's things. God wanted Naaman. God wanted Naaman. God wanted him as a part of his people. And that's the same thing for you. God doesn't really want your stuff. He'll use everything that you've got for his glory and for your good. He will. And when we give to God, when we give to a church or to a nonprofit, or we use what God's given us, our spaces and our time, it's not really about those things. It's really about us. And God uses normal people and our resources for his glory, but we can never be brought to a wrong thinking where we think that God's really needs us or our things, because he doesn't. But what he desires is he desires all of us. And God wants Naaman. And you see Naaman at that point pivoting in verse 17. He says, if I can't give you, because he wants to do this. His life's been changed. When we become saved, we become incredibly generous as people. And we just want to give what we have. In fact, later, we're not going to get to this part today, but like later, Elisha's servant asks for some things, and Naaman freely gives it to him because his heart's been changed. But we find Naaman then saying, if I can't give you anything, would you give me something? I would just like to have as much soil as two mules can carry so that I can build an altar back home in Damascus so that I can worship God and no one else, because I'm in all the way. And I want to only worship God. That there would be nothing else or no one else that I would give my life to other than the living God of Israel. And God got what he was looking for. God was looking for the man. God wanted Naaman to come home. And that's really good news. See, here's the deal. God loves you that way. He cares about you. He wants you to come home. He wants you to be a part of his story. And he will go to extreme measures to bring you back. Even the hardest times of our life, God will use for his glory. Whether that's you're feeling oppressed, whether you're feeling down, whether you feel like no one sees you, whether you're feeling the weight of racism, whether you're feeling pain, God will use everything in your life to draw you to yourself, himself, to bring you home, because God loves you that much. And even very difficult things God can use for his glory. Consider this little girl. She's brought out of her home. She's brought into Naaman's home. It is not her ideal world. And yet God positions her right where he wants her to be so that she can change the destiny of a man named Naaman. So don't waste the struggle and the adversity that you find yourselves in. God has brought it as a moment into your life so that you can affect change forever, because God will use you. Which brings us to the fourth thing I want us to see today, which is that God uses people to save people. God uses people to save people. God used this little girl to save Naaman. And he used her because God loves to work through people. And God can use you in the same way. Not only does he use this little girl, he uses Elisha to save Naaman. God doesn't just send him a book or a message in the sky. God immediately, from this little girl, sends Naaman to another person, Elisha, so that he can encounter the living God. And God always uses people. God uses people to change people. God uses people to save people. We see that in Jesus, and that Jesus himself came as a man so that we could experience the goodness of God, because God uses people to save people. And so here is where I want to press in your story today. You may be like Naaman, and you're on a journey where God's going to bring you to a place of humility where you can trust God, and you're going to get to a place where you're going to say, God, I'm in. I've been going my own way. I've been sometimes acting like a Christian. I've gone to church a bunch. But I know in my heart of hearts that I still see you as a means to an end and not the person that I want to give my life to. So I pray to you so you could do good things for me, or so that I can feel like I'm a good person, or that I can get prayers answered. But really, I'm not all in to follow you. And today, God wants you to take a step of humility and say, I'm willing to do whatever you're asking of me, whether that means just giving you my life right now, no holds barred. So whatever that Jordan River is for you, like it was for Naaman, told to go wash in the river so he could become clean, for you, that step of obedience may mean moving out from your roommates because they just continue drawing you away from the Lord, or choosing to bring your relationship into obedience to Christ, which means that you may need to act differently. You may need to draw some firm lines in the way that you're behaving with the person that you're dating, or change the way that you're pursuing your career because you want to submit all of your life to Jesus. And that may be the step that you need to take. But for others, I believe that a huge step we need to take is to simply say, I'm going to be used by God, to be a person that God can use to save people, which means that when I see someone suffering under the weight of sin, like Naaman was, I can be someone like this little girl that would say, listen, there is someone that you can trust, someone who is good, someone who can heal. And my prayer for you is during this time of the coronavirus, that you'd be very intentional to invest your life into people like this, where you can become a trusted friend and you can invest in that relationship so you can invite them into a relationship with Jesus. What would it look like if we were people who just said, I'm going to invest my time in my neighbor who can't go get groceries right now. I'm going to go invest my time into their life so that I can eventually have a relationship with them and talk to them about the things that really matter, which is Jesus, the true answer to their questions. What if I chose to invest my time in a homeless person, one specific one that I can see and I run into all the time, and choose to just bless them so that they may at some point have a conversation with me about Jesus? What if I did that with a coworker, that I just become a person who's trusted in their life, maybe one of the only Christians that they know, that I pray for them regularly, that I'm for them, and then somehow at some point I can give them an invitation to know Jesus? If we do this, we're going to be missionaries to our city. It's going to be more than a slogan, but we'll actually have a missional mentality. And that's my prayer for us as a church, that we'd be people who allow ourselves to be used for the gospel, that we can all take our journey as people like Naaman who move from sin to being saved, but then also we can be people who God uses to reach others for the gospel because Jesus is so worth it. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this time as a church. Thank you for our people. Thank you for this community. Thank you that we are so loved. And so God, I just pray that you would allow us to experience that love from you. And I pray that you allow us to share that love with others. Open our eyes so we can see who you want us to invest in so that we can invite them into a relationship with you. So we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.